All right, let's pray and ask God's blessing upon our time. Father, we are here, and it is true, our relationship with you and the consciousness of that relationship should be as necessary as the air that we breathe. And so should prayer. So as we see the instructions of the Apostle Paul and the import he places on prayer in many places of Scripture, but especially in Colossians this morning, Lord, press it upon our own hearts as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have ever seen one of those Got Milk commercials? Aren't they clever? I mean, somebody should get paid a lot for some of those things. I remember one a long time ago, and I wanted to find the video, but I couldn't. Apparently, it's so old. Maybe Fred Flintstone designed it. I have no idea. But it starts out where there's this couple that lives on a farm, and a young man, I guess maybe a brother of one of the couple, is visiting. And he comes down, he gets up early. I guess he can't stand the rooster's cock-a-doodle-dooing in the morning. He gets down, he pours some cereal in his bowl, opens the refrigerator, and there's no milk, of course. So he looks up from the sink, and out on the farmland, on a little bit of a rise, he sees this cow. He's looking at the cow, and he looks at the bowl, and he looks at the cow, and he leaves the kitchen and goes out of the house. Well, the brother and sister, who are the farmers, actually come into the kitchen and wonder where he is. And the brother goes, "There goes my brother. Well, where is he going? He doesn't have any milk. He's headed up the hill." Do you think somebody ought to tell him that's a bull? And the brother says, like brothers do, "He'll figure it out." Clueless, absolutely clueless. And sometimes we treat spiritual things that way because we just don't understand the import of some things that are absolutely critical, and we don't understand how critical they are not only to our own lives, but also to our God. So let me direct you to this scripture verse, then I'm going to ask for a video, all right? In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I also have been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak." Now, so that we can all be clued in on prayer, this video illustration helps us to understand just exactly what prayer is. Please.
What is prayer? Stale tradition. Ritual. A good luck charm. Part of some religious checklist. Done to appease a higher being so we can get what we want. Or at least avoid the lightning bolt. Prayer has been redefined and twisted and confused. But at its essence, prayer is simply talking to God, the God who spoke the universe into creation, who gives us life and breath, who holds all things together. This God wants us to talk to him in the vastness of all that exists. He actually cares about us, personally, individually. How can we not pray to such a loving God? Wherever we are, how can we not thank him for what he's done? Or cry out when we need help, when we need forgiveness, when we're afraid, when we give thanks for our blessing or question where our next meal will come from? Why would we live a life apart from him? It's not about formula. How could any posture or well-chosen word impress the author of time and space? It's simple obedience. God has made himself available to us. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to trust in him, to acknowledge our dependence on him, to draw near to the one who loved us first. Approaching with confidence because Christ has torn away the veil, He's washed away the sin that kept us from his presence. And we live in relationship with our Lord. And so we ask that his kingdom come, his will be done on earth and in our lives as it is in heaven. That is prayer.
And that's that which the Apostle Paul found so critical, like the air that we breathe. So please, if you aren't already there, turn to Colossians and take the sheet out that I provided for an outline. Actually, I don't know who this was, but this was all prepared and ready to go and stuffed in the bulletin last Saturday night. And when I got sick, some dear soul actually unstuffed the bulletins and saved all those sheets. So the date on the sheet is wrong because it was last week, but I didn't want to waste it. So I'm sorry, I'm cheap. I mean thrifty. How's that? All right. So we need to understand how to pray. We're going to divide this how to pray and then how to pray for sent ones, that is, ones who are specifically sent to engage other people in the sharing of the gospel. Well, first of all, I need to ask a question. Are you that kind of believer? Now, D-A-T, not T-H-A-T. Are you that kind of believer? Here's what I mean. Are you devoted, alert, and thankful? That's the very first verse. Devoted, alert, and thankful as you engage God in the discipline of prayer. Are you that kind of believer? First of all, what do we mean by devoted? It means to be persistent, to stay at, to be occupying oneself diligently with, to be intentional, not haphazard, to be the kind of person who is disciplined to obey God in prayer. Now, lots of excuses can be given for prayer. A lack of interest, lack of belief, lack of discipline, an overabundance of self-reliance. That's what God gave Moses instruction to warn the people of Israel against in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10, down through the end of the chapter. We're too distracted with more urgent things to do. I pray as I go throughout the day, someone may say. And you know what the translation of that is? I don't really pray very much at all, or with little intention. Why should I pray? God doesn't seem to answer my prayers. I don't feel like praying. I'm too sinful to pray. I'm too bitter to pray. I'm content with mediocrity in my Christian life. So why should I pray? We need to understand that prayer is not a spiritual luxury. It's an absolute necessity. It's a command of God. Now, I need your help. I actually want a call and response here. All right. I'm going to start a sentence and you end with the final word. Now, I'm going to give you a clue as to what the answer is. The word that you respond with is sin. So this is not a hard exercise, but we want to get engaged here. If God says, don't commit adultery, and I do, it is
sin.
Thank you. If God says, don't lie, and I do, it is
sin.
Thank you. If God says, wives, submit to your husbands, and you fight with him at every chance you get, it's
sin.
That's good. I was expecting maybe more male voices on that one, but ladies, yeah, that's good. That's good. Husbands, you are to love your wives sacrificially, and if you don't, it's
sin.
All right. Employees, work for your bosses as you would your work for Christ. If you don't, it's
sin.
Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together for worship and mutual encouragement, because if you do, it's
sin.
If God says be devoted to prayer and you aren't, it's
sin.
Uh-oh. Are you devoted to prayer? Because if you aren't, it's sin, either by omission or commission. You see, we need to understand that it's so important to be devoted to prayer. The next word that we're told is alert, literally to watch, to keep awake, to be vigilant. You know, the Lord Jesus rebuked the disciples. He goes off to the Garden of Gethsemane. His spirit is crushed with the events that are about to take place. He's about ready to go to the cross. So he goes off to pray to gain strength and insight and help from the Father. He comes back, and all the disciples are cutting Z's. They're sleeping. And he says this in Matthew chapter 26, verse 40 and 41. And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so you men couldn't keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. And the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, let's just be honest. Let's not be so hard on Peter. How many of you have ever fallen asleep in prayer? Be honest. Okay, I have two. Sometimes the flesh is definitely weak. How many of ever us had our minds wander in prayer? Oh, Lord, please bless so-and-so. And by the way, so-and-so's got this nice, really car. Now, my car needs to tune up. So on Monday, I've got to get the tires changed. But that's before I get to... What was I doing? I was praying, and all that just spun out of control. So prayer is not always an easy thing to engage in, simply because of the nature of who we are and sometimes how we think. Stay alert in prayer. After all, you can't fall asleep at work, so why should you fall asleep before the throne of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? If you have difficulty falling asleep in prayer, I have an invention for you. This is called the Red Alert Prayer Bag. And this is the way it works. You fold your hands in prayer, and then you rest your chin on your hands. And as you fall asleep and your head gets heavier, this air horn will go off. I was tempted to do it this morning. Yeah, thank you. But the last time I did that at Trinity, we used an air horn for another illustration. We got some older people down in front that were clutching their chests after that. So we don't want to do that. But seriously thinking, though, sometimes staying alert and awake in prayer, the body's weak and the spirit's willing. So let me give you some real helpful suggestions. On your outline, just fill in the blank. Okay, here we go. Get some good sleep before you pray. Don't pray right after an exhausting day, maybe hard construction work, and you could barely keep your eyes open to eat and then engage in prayer. Why not in the morning or at lunch when you are completely and totally alert? Get a good night's sleep. Grab a cup of coffee or tea if you need to. Change positions when you pray. Stand up. Walk around. When I was at Penn State Mount Alto campus, which is near Chambersburg, it was not a Christian campus, all kinds of music. It was difficult to think and have spiritual devotions inside the dorm room. It was 12 miles between Chambersburg and Mount Alto. And I rode my bike, and I prayed. It was quiet. You can easily ignore the cars. Remember who you're talking to is another helpful thing. Remember who you're talking to. You have an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you fall asleep on him? I'm sure you wouldn't intentionally, but maybe that'll help. Next time you pray, maybe what you ought to do is take a chair and you sit in this one, and just for a moment imagine the Lord Jesus sitting immediately across from you, listening to everything you're saying. The Lord Jesus Christ, born, crucified, risen again, the glorified Savior, desiring to have you speak with him. Pray aloud. Write a letter to God. Write a letter to God. Gordon MacDonald had this thing with his devotions where he bought a spiral-bound notebook, and he wrote out his prayers for his morning devotions. He started in the beginning, dated each day, and in the back of the spiral-bound notebook, he recorded answers when they came. And when those two things met, he bought a new notebook. It was just that simple. How about this? Have a list to keep you focused. Now, we provide lists every Wednesday night. And that's just a beginning place, a starting point. All the ministries of the church, all of the things that we know about that people are requesting prayer for, and some even added that night. And we try to diligently and in a disciplined way pray for people. Our elders even take a separate meeting. We no longer have one meeting anymore. We take a separate meeting and have a meeting for prayer and Bible study. And we pray for everyone that we know of in our church who has needs. Pray when you can't sleep. That's interesting. If prayer puts you to sleep and you can't sleep, pray. But seriously, you're not going to do anything else during that period of time in the middle of the night should you waken and can't get back to sleep. Why not engage the Lord? Pray with someone and give them permission to gently tap you if you start to snore. Emphasis here on gently tap. I know some of you. No air horns allowed. But that way we keep one another in partnership before the Lord in an alert and in a devoted way. And then last, thankful. Sometimes it's hard to be thankful in the middle of prayer. Hard to be thankful because sometimes our prayers are generated by moaning and groaning of the pains of life. But think about it. The moans, the groans, the complaints as we engage our God for solutions and for help can also be turned into thank you notes. If you're moaning and groaning about the government, be thankful that you weren't born in North Korea or Iraq or an Islamic-controlled country. I mean, it may not be perfect here, and no matter which side of the aisle you're on, our government needs prayer. Complaining about your spouse, be thankful you have one. Kids, paycheck, traffic, all kinds of things. The flesh shows up in your pastor when he's stuck in a traffic jam. I'm just telling you. And then my dear spiritual wife says something like, "Honey, just be thankful that you weren't in the horrific car accident that caused this traffic jam." You see, there's always something to be thankful at. And I'm not looking at the silver lining. I'm looking at the realities of life. To come to prayer and not thank God for what we know that He has been gracious to us with is just ingratitude and pride, and God is dead set against those things. So those are some suggestions about how to be that kind of a Christian, devoted, alert, and thankful. How do you pray for sent ones, those people who are sent to specifically, the entirety of their life is devoted to the giving of the gospel to people who either haven't heard or need to hear again? In verse 3, chapter 4, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up for us a door for the word, that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have been imprisoned. It's funny, I was doing the research, and I came across this wonderful, wonderful illustration about a surgical assistant. How could this assistant, she asked God, how could I help in the operating room and in my workplace? Well, this particular assistant, you know, you can't witness to a patient who's unconscious. That's a difficult thing to do. And there are very brief moments before surgery begins. And so how could I be an effective witness in my workplace? Well, she began to pray at her lunch hour or a break. And another Christian noticed what was going on and said, "Look, can I join you? I really could use some prayer, or I'd love to pray with you." And this thing grew. In fact, these prayer meetings throughout this hospital grew, not only with that young lady, but with other people as well. And what a ministry they had. They prayed for the physicians. They prayed for each other's families. They prayed for the patients. They prayed for the patients' families. As these families, these names would come to mind, a tremendous opportunity for the gospel. They prayed for the salvation of souls. And actually, they began to see some people come to know Christ as Savior and Lord. You see, praying for opportunities for the gospel is what Paul is asking us to do. And then the second thing he asks is not only for the opportunities, but clarity as to how I might speak, he says. Now, in the English Standard Version, it says, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. In verse 4, he says, pray that I may proclaim it as clearly as I should, the NIV says. The Message says it this way: pray that every time I open my mouth, I'll be able to make Christ as plain as day to them. And you know, language is a tricky thing. We're talking about the Apostle Paul, going from place to place to place, from culture to culture to culture. He was probably familiar with the early forms of the Roman languages. He was familiar with Greek, and we know he was familiar with Hebrew. And some of the dialects in between. But language is a tricky thing. It's not just the knowing of vocabulary words or even the syntax of how they appear in the sentence. You know what I mean? Even the Pennsylvania Dutch, the syntax is an important thing. You've all heard the one, you know, throw the cow over the fence some hay. I mean, think about that. What you really mean is throw some hay over the fence to the cow who wants to eat it on the other side of the fence. That's what you're trying to say. But because of the German syntax, the subjects and the verbs being confused, they're perfectly fine with that. to us, we do it differently, it gets a little confusing. Sometimes the idioms that we use, the figures of speech that we use, think about this. Would you want to sleep near a person in the woods who has his backpack jam-packed? You're bear bait. If he's going to pack his backpack and then just shove jam in there all over the place, that's going to be a disaster. Well, that's not what we mean. We know what that means. We know that it means that you're jamming things in so that a lot of stuff fits in a small place. But think, you're from another culture. You don't understand these idioms. And that happens all the time. Is it any wonder the Apostle Paul is saying, look, I want you to pray for two things. I want you to pray that I get opportunities to tell people about Jesus. And then I want you to pray that I will find the ways to make it as clear as possible to everybody who's listening to me. It was a difficulty for a missionary a long time ago in Irian Jaya and Papua New Guinea. I'm sorry, before I get to that, think about what Paul had to deal with, clarity for the Jews. There's a brand new message. Salvation is by grace through faith. We talked about this a little bit in adult Sunday school class. That means faith is not earned by the works of law keeping. The Pharisees had a difficult problem with that. The mystery of the gospel is the Gentiles are now become just as much the people of a God as the Jews are a people of God. And the Jews are going to have a problem with that. So pray for me so that I can explain these things to whatever Jews I come across. And to the Gentiles, it's the same. You mean that there's only one God? Instead of like a whole pantheon of gods? And the emperor of Rome is not him? That's difficult for Gentiles to understand in the first century. Paul found a way in the Areopagus. He was going through the city and he found this pedestal with an inscription to the unknown God. And Paul said, I use that to be the redemptive bridge to explain to the people about who Jesus is and what he came to do. It was amazing, amazing. Peace Child by Don Richardson. Can you imagine entering into a culture where you tell them the gospel story and everyone, man, woman, and child, thinks Judas is the hero? Really? Because in that culture, deception, treachery, and cannibalism reign supreme. So you are well thought of if you can deceive an enemy, become his friend, betray him, and eat him. In a culture like that, wouldn't you think that Judas was the hero? So he's just at wit's end. How am I going to communicate? Well, these two tribes were warring with one another. And if you know the story of Richardson's experience, these two tribes were warring with one another, and it became such a bloodbath, such an animosity. They didn't think it. So both tribes sued for peace, and this is how they made peace. The chief of one tribe gave a newborn son to be the adoptive son of the chief of the other tribe. And as long as that child lived, there would be peace between the tribes. Does that sound familiar at all? God the Father gave a newborn son to humanity. And Hebrews tells us he lives forever. So he is our peace child. And with that redemptive analogy, Richardson was able to communicate Christ. Now, I ask some people this morning to help me. And I would like them to come up now if they would. And they are people from our missions trip. And as I was studying this before last week, I knew that they would be home, and the Lord impressed upon my heart, look, we've been praying for them. I've been in communication with them. They have told me of events that have happened and how answers to prayer have come. So Bobby and Ashley and Hannah's here, and Tori, you're here. Angie, yes. Come on up. The time's yours.
So, Pastor asked us to share a little bit about how prayer has helped us throughout this trip. And so, for me personally, I think through overall health and just bringing us all closer together. And also, you know, Spanish is primarily spoken in Colombia, so there was quite a language barrier between, you know, the kids there and me. But through taking three levels of Spanish in school and everything, I was able to kind of communicate. And I think just through asking Jesus for, you know, wisdom and guidance and courage to be able to use that language and speak with them and communicate them was helpful and was really useful. So, yeah, that's how I think prayer helped. Thanks.
So I don't know if you guys remember, but in maybe mid-December, there was handed out that little piece of paper that had prayer requests on it that hopefully you guys were praying. And in the beginning of January, one of the prayer requests was that you would pray that all the boxes arrived in Colombia safely. And so we had sent, was it five boxes full of clothing, full of some supplies? And those all arrived safely. But not only that, everybody was carrying two checked bags. You had your personal checked bag, which had a couple school supplies in it, and then a second checked bag, which was full of school supplies, full of crafts for VBS, and some of them were full of just extra clothing. And less than a day before we left, Fort Lauderdale, the airport in Florida, had a shooting. And that's the one we had to stop in on the way there. And so if you read the reports, the day we're flying into there, there were 20,000 pieces of unclaimed luggage floating around that airport that we flew into. And not only did we arrive safely and go on to Colombia, but all of our luggage made it there safely as well. And for me, that was a huge answer to prayer because we're carrying all the supplies that we were going to be using, and the boxes all arrived safely. And it was really just God looking out for us and also you, the church, praying as well. So that was kind of how I saw God working.
So Ashley and I were talking about what we had prayed about. We prayed about a lot on this trip, and we kind of both agreed on the same thing. We were looking, trying to look at the broad picture and saying, okay, we've done all the planning we can do. Tori took the brunt of the particulars because she knew the area, you know, and we're looking, have we done everything? Have we done everything? And when we carried those bags, I think we did everything. Like, they were heavy. But when we got there, the language barrier, the overweighted van by a lot, just even the housings we were staying at, the kids going up to the farmland, you know, we prayed, God, we've done our planning. But sometimes our planning, we get so stuck on our own ideas that we don't allow God to work, and we don't allow God's real plan to work. And through all of the struggling with bags and trying to figure things out and, you know, discussions and this and that, God did what he wanted to do. Now, it might not have been how we saw it, what we expected, what we thought. But the funny thing is when you're in another country, you don't have a choice but to just go with it. So God says, you're out of your comfort zone. You can't even speak the language. And we're going to change things up. Okay. What am I going to do? I can't stop it. We're going to just go with it. We're going to make it work. And so when you see things like the first day, 73 kids show up. And then the next day, 93 kids show up. And then the next day, 20 minutes early, 96 kids show up. You're thinking to yourself, I couldn't have done that. I can't even talk to them. This was all God. He brought the right people. And the funny thing is the people that we thought we were going to rely on were not the people we relied on. God brought the right people to the right time. So when you are looking at something like this and we're praying, God, work it out. Make it work. I thought we don't have enough people with the small group that we went, but if we had more, we wouldn't have went anywhere. We weren't fitting in that van. So God worked everything out according to how he wanted it to be done. And we were willing to just go along for the ride. The glory went to him.
I have something, too, to say. It's not a prayer request that was answered necessarily, but it does relate to prayer. So one afternoon when we were there, we did door-to-door evangelism at the request of our missionary, Bill. And there was six of us? One, two, three, four, five, six. Six of us? I'm still in Colombia. Seis, I can say that.
Yes.
So anyway, we each of us paired up with one of the Colombians from Bill's church, and we went door to door handing out tracts, and we were useless. But they had this tract that explained the two ways, the broad way and the narrow way, and they were just trying to witness to people right there on the spot, and I'm standing there just smiling like, hi, I can't say anything to you. I can't help this guy explain to you what I believe. But then God was like, you can pray. And I was like, okay, I will do that. So that just goes to show none of us is useless.
And in 2 hours, three people came to Christ from door-to-door evangelism. Three people.
Okay, I'm going to try to say this without crying, because... Thanks. This trip was amazing. I had been praying for months since the very first conversation that Santi and I had with Bill a year ago. And the Lord put Columbia on our heart, and I know that I feel a connection with it. It's like a second home for me. But I had to follow his leading, and he made it his will that we had this trip this year. And I prayed for every aspect, you know, safety and travel and the people that we would meet and the right families and my language to get better, that I could speak better. And it was all answered beyond what I thought. I realized by the end of the trip that not only had we gotten to be with these families and be blessed back, but we shared the gospel with Santi's family as well, and they saw it strong, and they weren't turned away. They were excited. They asked questions. They were curious. And so it was really neat to see that. I didn't expect that to be immediate. And by day two of our VBS, I felt more confident in my speaking skills, and I was connecting with parents that were staying there with their children, and the children got comfortable with us, and they let down their barriers, and you could see it. They were excited. They were talking to us, whether they knew if you could talk to them or not. And I did a lot of translating that day, but it was really neat because I was able to connect with those children and those families. And when we said goodbye on the last day, I heard so many positive things back from these families. I think every single parent that was there kissed me goodbye and thanked us for being there and being with their children, and they stayed and they heard the gospel, and they were engaged. They enjoyed it. They enjoyed our presence. And then I started to feel convicted, because then I realized, I think a lot of times here, I know I personally have, I guess I didn't think that I was judging, but I guess I have this prejudgment in my head sometimes when people don't think the way that I do or don't believe what I do. And then I think, oh, you know, it's such a shame for them that they don't have that personal relationship with Jesus. And through much prayer, I realized they were so accepting. They didn't turn you away. I think personally in my evangelism group, we got turned away twice, just that they said, we're not interested, thank you, but that was it. But the rest were welcoming. And they listened, and they talked, and they asked questions. And I know I personally got to witness those three people coming to Christ. And I personally told them that we would bring their names back here, and as a church, we would pray for them. And just the gratitude in their eyes was everything. They loved us being there. And I'm really grateful that we got to share Christ with them. You know, a lot of the feedback from the kids at the end was, you know, I can have a better relationship with God, because you shared him with us. And I just thought how blessed we are and how grateful I was for the trip. And God loves us and God loves them. And it was just really awesome to see those two worlds collide. And it was beautiful. And I can't wait to, in a few weeks, Lord willing, share our trip with you all, because it was really impactful for us. And I can't wait for us to be able to have that opportunity with you. Thank you.
Thanks, Tori. Each of you, thank you very much. You know, as we think about what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 4, we need to be praying. First, we need to be that kind of a Christian. Devoted, alert, thankful. And then as we pray for people, as we communicate the gospel to other people, we need to pray for two things. Opportunities to speak. And when God gives those opportunities, clarity in what we say. Clarity in what we say. You know, it's funny. Last weekend, as I was, before I got laid up, I was praying through the, and this was included in last week's. I mean, it's not the pretty color one. I just photocopied it. However many. It's the missionary prayer calendar. And it was interesting. On the 15th, Sundays, we were to pray for Jeff and Emery Ort in Montana. They are missionaries in the sense that they are the head of a Bible camp. But in their ministry at the Bible camp, they also had a personal ministry for Christ. Listen to the request. Pray for God to draw their former foster daughter, Kim, into a hope-filled life in relationship with Christ, and if using them in the process, that his character and truth would shine. You see, there's those two elements. Pray that their foster daughter, Kim, opportunity, would have a relationship with Christ. And then using them, that is Jim, or Jeff, rather, and Emery, to speak clearly, to communicate Christ to them. Now, here's the question. How intentional are you in praying for others who are sharing the gospel? I don't want a show of hands. It's between you and the Lord. One small sentence for a prayer request every day of every month. These are found on the Welcome Center. I published them in the bulletin last week. I think I'm going to write and ask Dwayne Moyer for a whole bunch more and just simply insert them in the bulletin and ask you to be committed. I mean, how long does it take you to pray for one sentence, really? That you might start your day praying for someone who will be engaging in sharing the gospel with someone else. And while you're praying for them, pray for yourself. Ask God for the same things, like that surgical assistant in the hospital, that God might use you to communicate the gospel in opportunities and with clarity. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, earlier in the worship service, we declared as a body that not to be devoted, alert, and thankful in prayer is sin. Please forgive us. Forgive us for the times when we choose poorly or we choose not to pray. Lord, break our wills so that we could do righteousness and not sin. And Father, those who are engaging in sharing the gospel with others, those who are on the mission field, maybe our Sunday school teachers, maybe the pastors, the elders, the deacons of our church, each one of us, we pray for opportunities to share Christ. And clarity as we speak. And Father, I want to personally thank you for our missions team. I have a feeling that a lot more than 96 children's lives and three people who confessed Christ as Savior were changed that week. Lord, I think you've given us back six people who are more sensitive to the need and the joy and the privilege of sharing the gospel than they were before they left, and we thank you. May they have such an excitement it would become infectious and infect the rest of us, please. That we would be looking for opportunities to share the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior on the cross who paid the penalty for our sin. And that we would be quick, intentional about praying for opportunities to speak the truth. Lord, we love you. Help us now to go this week. Arm us and help us in the battles we'll face. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.